reading about miracles in the Bible. I love hearing testimonies of miracles from people that God has touched and healed and transformed. You know, it's kind of interesting. We've kind of developed as a church and a society today that we just don't hear testimonies too much anymore, do we? You know, I remember many times as a young man going to church and I don't know, you know, maybe the pastor didn't feel like he had time to prepare something. I don't know why, but I remember having testimony nights sometime and they just have different people stand up and testify. So I thought it'd be interesting if we kind of did something. Just see, this thing that we live out as Christians is so incredible. Yeah, you know, I hate when people try to explain away certain miracles that God performs because it doesn't fit their preconceived notions. You know, we hear all kinds of claims today. Well, a lot of people's default statement is, well, the Bible's just a collection of myths, but they don't. That's just the default statement, because what they don't want to hear is the truth, that is the truth. And yet it's interesting how that the more archaeology digs, the more they find that they're almost on a daily, weekly basis finding more things that backs up exactly what the Bible says. So this thing is not a bunch of myths. It's the truth. As a matter of fact, it's very historically accurate, even though there are those that try to say it's not. Also, I hate when people that are supposed to be Christians try to explain away the miracles of God. I'll never forget when I was raised in church and I was about 21 years of age, I really decided, you know what, I'm going to get serious about this thing. I'm going to live this thing out and give it my all. And I began the process of trying to do that. And I'll never forget getting excited and going to the store. And I said, I'm going to get a new Bible. And I decided I was going to buy a study Bible. I wanted lots of extra notes and commentaries and things in there so I could really dig into the scripture. And so I went and bought one. I bought what was called an NIV study Bible. It was back when the whole Hunter Green color was very, very popular. So I had a Hunter Green leather-bound NIV study Bible. I look at it and think, wow, that's an ugly thing. But anyway. But the thing that really kind of made it a little bit ugly to me, not because it was the Word of God, but as I began to look through, I didn't really research the one that I bought. As I began to look through the commentaries in there, there were things like when Moses turned the water in the Nile River to blood, where there was things where they tried to explain away the miracle with different scientific things that could have caused that. And I immediately, after I read through a few of those, I closed the Bible up, put it on my shelf, and it's still there today. Not because the Word of God's bad, but because everything in there, so much of it tried to explain away the miracles of God. So many times we hear modern miracles and testimonies, and you can almost see sometimes people, yeah, well, they're just a bunch of weirdos that you know, God doesn't really do that stuff anymore. But the truth is, there's nothing new about that. There's nothing new about people coming against the miracles of God. Remember, you look in Luke chapter 11, you see that Jesus is going around performing miracles. The excuse that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had was they were saying, well, you know, he does that by the power of Satan. In Luke 11, 19 and 20, Jesus responds to that. He says, now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. See, the truth is, Jesus was real. Jesus is real. Jesus still performs miracles. He performed them then. He performs them today. So people need to get over it. So today, as we get into this series, the text I want to use today is Matthew 4, 23 through 24. Says Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. The people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. What do we see throughout the Gospels? We see the ministry of Jesus, we see miracles taking place as a validation of his message of salvation. Again and again, we see that Jesus went. And what did he do to validate his message? Because it's one thing to stand up and say, hey, guys, follow me. I know the way. I have the truth and all that. But if you're just throwing out another philosophy, then it's really just an intellectual argument. But if what you're saying is being validated by miraculous signs and wonders, then that puts a validation that there must be something to what he's saying. And the truth is, you follow that after Jesus was crucified and he rose from the dead and he was taken to heaven. You follow the early church, and the early church did the same thing. Miracles were commonplace in the early church. I love reading through the book of Acts. Matter of fact, on Wednesday nights, we're walking through the book of Acts verse by verse, and I'm really enjoying it because I love reading through the things that the early church did after Jesus. They were walking, they were taking this truth, and as they were spreading the gospel, that these same validating miracles were taking place. The truth is, it wasn't until the church became so politicized and corrupted by power that this began to change. The truth is, God didn't change. The church Jesus died for is what changed. Even the Apostle Paul dealt with these criticisms. At one point in 1 Corinthians 2:4, he made this statement. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. What was he saying? He didn't just go around trying to win the intellectual arguments. He went around speaking the truth, and then what he was saying was being validated by the power of the Spirit. See, miracles are a wonderful thing, but miracles really, if we're all honest, we put it in perspective, they're secondary to the greatest of miracle of all. And the greatest miracle of all is that Jesus would leave heaven, walk this earth, as an example, show us God's love, die on the cross for our sins so that we can have a relationship. That's the greatest miracle of all. And every other miracle that takes place is to validate that truth. See, the ultimate healing of eternal life is what Jesus offers. He offers us, we can be set free from both sin's penalty and sin's bondage. Amen. And so today I want to start this series. My whole goal is to walk through the miracles of Jesus, but the more I worked on it this week, the more I realized that today I just wanted to deal with, I felt like the Holy Spirit was just deal with the question, why miracles? See, how many know that God does everything with a purpose? And there's so many people today that have lost sight of the fact that God still works miracles. We hear all the time that was for back then. But the truth is, why did Jesus do miracles back then? Well, he did miracles back then because, number one, miracles attract. Everywhere Jesus went, he drew a crowd. Now, his words that he said were incredible. We're still quoting many of them today, and obviously the best messages they ever preached was things that he laid out. But I guarantee you, when the crowds were speaking, hey, let's go see this Jesus. It wasn't, hey, let's go hear this Jesus because he has said some of the greatest words I've ever heard. Now that was said, and that was part of it. But really what they were saying, let's go see the guy that is raising the dead. Let's go see the guy that is opening blind eyes. Let's go see the guy that is causing the lame to walk. See, the truth is, miracles attract. And despite the cries of the doubters today, true miracles still can draw a crowd. Now, I'm not talking about a show. I think one of the worst things that has happened is that we've got some, Lord, help me be careful. We've got some phonies that are out there that are trying to build their own kingdom. And so people look at everything through that lens. But just because, you know what? Just because there's counterfeit $20 bills, I'm not going to quit using the real ones. Yeah. Amen. And I realize there are abuses out there, but God still performs miracles today. And one of the reasons is miracles attract. People can come and they can hear a message. And when it's backed up by true verifiable signs and wonders, it validates the message. Those miracles, they serve to demonstrate the authority behind the one bringing the message. 3 years back, we went to, every year we have the North Texas District Council, and it's usually hosted at Southwestern Assembly of God University, and ministers from all over come, and we're a part of that. And there's business meetings during the day, but there's incredible services at night. And on that particular Sunday night, they had advertised that Reinhard Bonnke was going to be the guest speaker. And if you're not sure who he is an incredible evangelist that God has used in South Africa and all through Africa, that literally millions have come to know Christ because of his ministry. Miracles, incredible miracles have followed that ministry. And he was going to be there. It's so funny because he's a German guy with a very thick German accent. And he was reaching people in Africa and having incredible success. But as he was speaking that night, it was incredible to listen to him speak because it was kind of cool to see and to see pictures of literally he's had crusades where there have been over a million in attendance. But there are pictures of speakers sit further and further and further out, and just people as far as you can see. And he was talking about how that he has left Africa and he's moved to Florida because he said the Holy Spirit told him that the America is next. But out of all that, as interesting was to me that there's one thing he said, I can't tell you a whole lot about everything else he said that night, but I do remember there's one thing that he said that I didn't have to write down. Because you ever had somebody just say something that just like burns into your soul? He said this. I mean, as I was working on this, I didn't have to look it up. I just typed it out from memory, even though it was 3 years ago. But he said this. If we preach the original gospel in its original power, we will get the original results. When he said that, I was like, oh, wow. But somewhere along the line, we've lost that. The problem we have today is so many have watered down the message. They stripped it of its miraculous power and they wonder why that we have such a limited success. Because what they've done is they boiled it down to this philosophical argument. The world doesn't need another philosophy. The world needs a life-changing, a situation-changing, an overpowering, overcoming power of the Holy Spirit and God in their life. That's what's going to impact society today. Not trying to argue in some philosophical debate. Because you can have the debates all day long. But to me, it's kind of like the guy that they were trying to say that Jesus was doing that by the power of Satan and that he wasn't really a person. And the guy was brought before and he was questioned before the Sanhedrin and he made the statement. He said, well, I don't know about all that. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Amen. And even those that were arguing against him and the apostles later on even would make the statement at times like, well, we can't deny a miracle's taking place here. There's a famous Chinese Christian by the name of Watchman Nee, and he was actually became a Christian in 1920. He went around preaching the gospel in China, and we know that the church in China, even though many times it has to be much underground, it is still a very vibrant and very powerful church. He preached from 1920 to 1952 when he was thrown in jail and was in jail from 1952 to 1972 where he died. But during that time, much like Paul, he got to write some stuff. And there's a book that he wrote called Set, Walk, Stand. And in it, he tells the story of a miraculous time that God backed up their message. There's a group of seven of them that went on this trip to an island off the coast of China. It was a decent-sized island. It had about 6,000 homes on it and people living there. And they went and they began to preach the gospel. This team of seven preached and preached and preached and preached, and they were getting nowhere. There was a wall they couldn't penetrate. Finally, they discovered what the issue was, that there was an idol on that island that everybody worshipped by the name that they called the Taiwan. And Tai Wang was this idol that they all were convinced was the answer and had the power. And he found out that what they were basing the whole thing on was this deal that every year they would have this parade with this idol. And they were convinced the idol had power because every year when they would have this parade, that the weather was always perfect. All throughout their oral history and their what written history they had and everything, it went back that every time they would parade this idol, the weather was perfect. So everybody was convinced that this idol was for real. And so the gospel was getting nowhere. Finally, a young man out of the seven that was on that trip that was only 16 years old asked the question, so when's the next parade? They said, oh, it's coming up in just a few days on January 11th. The young man, newly saved 16-year-old, in his boldness and his zeal, and said, well, you know what? I guarantee you it's going to rain that day. Everybody was kind of taken back by that. The elders of that idol said, well, okay, we don't want to hear another word. We're done here. We'll talk if it rains on that day. Now, I don't know what discussions took place. All I know is that it says in that story that they left that encounter and they all went back and said, okay, well, we've opened our mouths. We better pray that it rains on that day. So from that time until January 11th came, they prayed and prayed and prayed that God would do exactly that. Finally, January 11th rolled around. They got up. They went to breakfast. And it was the most beautiful, sunny day you had ever seen. But then as they said grace over their breakfast, it began to sprinkle. And by the time came time for that parade, it was coming a flood. Naturally, the elders of this idol didn't want to give up at the idea that they were wrong, so they decided they were going to do the parade anyway. They said, you know what, if we get that idol, if we get weighing out and we start walking and we start the parade, you watch, he's going to clear it all up and he's going to prove these guys wrong. So they started. They stepped out. Just a few steps into this parade, the people carrying the idol stumble, slip, fall. The idol's jaw and arm get broken in the process. And they pick up the pieces and hurry back. As a result, several of the young people said, you know what? These guys are telling us the truth. And they gave their life to Christ. But those elders, they weren't ready to give up yet. They came back out after consulting with each other for a while and said, you know what? We made a mistake. The parade wasn't supposed to be on the 11th. It was supposed to be on the 14th. So they rescheduled. The Christians just kept praying. The morning of the 14th, sunshiny, perfect. But by the time the time for the parade started, here came the monsoon again. As a result of that, the stronghold that that idol had on that island was broken, and people came to Christ by the validating miracle that God set in its place. See, God does that. See, this miracles reinforce the message of the good news. And sometimes we as Christians mistakenly think that the supernatural will scare off those that are seeking the truth. Well, we don't want to do that because it'll scare them away. I think the truth is the opposite of that. I think people are looking for the real thing. I think it's the fake that will scare them off. But I think when they're in a situation where they truly feel the power of the Holy Spirit, where they truly feel God's presence, and they see it backed up with validating miracles and things take place, that God can do incredible things and he can get a hold of people's hearts. There have been people that have walked in the doors here and made the statement, well, this isn't really for me. And then they sit there and I watch them cry all through service. And they come back and say, I don't know what that was, but that was something different. See, people want the truth. They want to see it backed up. They want to know there's a God who really cares. They want to know there's a God that you can feel his presence and you can sense that he's there. And they want a God that loves them enough to move miraculously on their behalf. You see, we live at a time, you know, I was thinking about that this morning and I had this thought. You know, before the time of science, we can get satellites up there and we can look down. There's been ships in space and everything. How did we even know there was an atmosphere? How do we know? We see the effects, right? We don't see the atmosphere. From our perspective, we look up and say, oh, the sky's blue. We don't realize there's something beyond that. How do we know that there's even a such thing as wind? We don't see the wind, but we do see the effects of the wind. We look and we see the leaves on the trees blowing back and forth. We say, oh, the wind's blowing. We see the flag really sticking straight out and it's flapping like this. We say, oh, the wind's blowing really hard. See, we can't see the wind, but we can see the results of his power. We may not see God, but we can see the results of his power. We can see the changed lives. We can see the people that are healed. We can see the things that takes place and God does. And so we understand that there is a demonstration of his power, that he's validating his word with signs and wonders. There's another way he does that, another reason that he does that. There's another reason why there's miracles. And that's because God loves us and has compassion on us. See, God is a God of love. He's a God of compassion. And over again in the Gospels, the Bible tells us that Jesus reached out miraculously and touched people's lives and healed them and fed them and opened blind eyes and caused the lepers to be healed and people that couldn't walk to walk and caused all these things because he had compassion on them. Matthew 14:14. I think it's an interesting passage because if you look at what just happened right before this, Jesus had just gotten the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded because of his ministry, because he actually had the gall to point to the king at the time and say, what you're doing is sin. But that was Jesus' cousin. If you remember, Jesus' mother Mary and John's mother Elizabeth, they had this incredible celebration time because they were both pregnant and God was going to use both babies. And there was this incredible time they had together. And now all of a sudden, Jesus has lost his cousin. It says when he got the news that he got in a boat and he went away to try to find a place of seclusion. But yeah, we read in Matthew 14:14, it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. See, it wasn't even a case of a want to. He wanted some time alone. But when he saw them and saw the situation, he had compassion and he healed them. You know, in our personal lives, Kim and I have seen many, many miracles. In my ministry life, I've seen many, many miracles. I want to invite Andrew and Cassidy to come up here for a moment if they would. I'm going to pick on them for just a little bit. If I can find a microphone I can turn on. It's Derek's mic. If you guys just step up here. Platform doesn't bite, trust me. I love this couple. Of course, I haven't known Andrew as long as I've known Cassidy. But I'm going to let them just answer a couple of questions because I want to tell their story a little bit. See, it wasn't all that long ago that on a Sunday during our prayer time, coming off of worship, that they came forward for prayer. And Cassidy had an issue. What was the issue? What did you come forward for prayer for?
Well, I came up because I got diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome. And I was told, because of the specific kind I have, that I had 10% chance of ever having children. And it every year it would go down by 2%. And I came up here and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give it to God. I'm going to give it to him. And that's all I can do. I did treatments. And when I did those treatments, I did blood tests and everything. And they said, sorry, it's not working. And I was like, nope, it's going to. Because I have a God that is greater. He's greater than any doctor. He's the almighty doctor. He's the one. Yeah. You know? Well, we came up here and we asked for prayer. And we're just like, you know what? We just want a child. We feel like it's right. And we got prayer, you know, every week until we finally said, you know what? I said, we need to go to pastor. And we finally went to pastor and told him everything. And you want to tell?
Sure. Okay. So I started praying. And you know, I'm always try to be careful because I don't want to ever speak something as it's from the Lord and it not be. Right. And so I started praying, and all of a sudden, I can't describe this authority that I felt come over me. And I began to declare out loud, you will have a child. And then I said, before it slipped out, before I even caught myself, because I was trying to be careful, and he will, and I began to declare some things that he was going to do. And so what happened just a few weeks later?
I felt strong in my heart. I was like, something's going on, because I took medicine, you know, to have, you know, and I didn't get it. And I was like, something's going on, and took the nurse on the phone. Was like, well, take a pregnancy test to make sure. So there's no way. The doctor said there's no way I can get pregnant on the medicine they put me on. Took one, and in 0.5 seconds turned full positive. And then a month later, I got offered to take a genetic test. And they said, congrats, you're having a boy. So.
God answers prayer, doesn't he?
Yes, it does.
So anything you want to add to that? Been quiet.
it's definitely a blessing. You know, I mean, there's our life in general is a miracle for one. You know, I mean, it's a miracle that I'm even standing here right now. So for God to be able to work a miracle in my life, to be able to create another miracle, it's a blessing.
Amen. 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 Yeah. And I've told the story in our own life of Kim being healed from asthma. Many of you guys have heard that story, that her whole life she had asthma, and reached the point in our adult lives that she would literally, she was working for the Richardson School District at the time, and she would go to work and she'd have to get a breathing treatment. She'd have to do it before she left the house. She'd have to do a breathing treatment there at the school. When she came home, it was do not pass go, do not collect $200, go sit down in the chair and get another breathing treatment, do another one before she went to bed. That was the lifestyle. So she finally went to the doctor and found out that she had way low lung function, far below the low end of normal. They decided to put her on the largest possible dose of Advair, and that just got her to the bottom end of normal. And we were at a conference one day. We went to a workshop called Divine Healing. Is it still for today? One point during that teaching, the guy folded up his notes. Dr. Dole Jones, he's been here before and spoken, and he laid it aside. He said, enough talking about this. If you're here and you need a miracle, come down front. Kim was sitting behind me this blur passed by me, headed up the aisle towards the front. We had prayed for that for years and years and years and years. But she knew somehow that that was her moment, and that was the day. She left there. She's not since then. How many years ago has that been?
It was four years on March 1st.
Yeah. Not a single dose of Advair since. Every time she goes to the doctor, she says, put that blood ox thing on my finger. Because it's 98, 99% every single time. And, you know, I've never seen a person that when they get sick with a cold or something and they have trouble breathing has this smile on their face. Yeah, but it's only because I'm sick. See, God does that. But it's not just in our physical bodies. You know, a lot of you know we just finished this series where I threw out the tithe challenge. And I challenged people to step out of that habit and begin to tithe and trust God with the first fruits and begin to do that. And there's been a lot of people that have stepped out and done that. I could spend a long time talking about the testimonies that have come in on that, the miracles that God has worked, you know, from unexpected bonuses to raises and promotions and bonuses on top of raises and promotions and unexpected income tax returns where they realize that, hey, there's a deduction we haven't been taking, and now that we take it, all of a sudden we have more money. That God does that stuff. God is in the miracle working business. I've seen some miracles happen in our lives that we prayed for. We've seen people healed. We've seen things like we saw today. Brandy, that was here in the first service, was on blood pressure medication. We recently told her testimony how that she had been on all this blood pressure medication, and she has been off of it for well over a month now. Not a single dose, and her blood pressure is perfect. God performs these things, and sometimes he does it simply because he loves us. He has compassion on his children. I wasn't going to tell this story in the first service, but I'm going to tell it again. I told last prayer night that we had, when Kim and I first started dating, she had a bean allergy. She was seriously allergic to beans. Now, when you love Mexican food, that's a problem. In one of our early dates, I didn't know that, and I took her out to eat at this Mexican food restaurant, and we're sitting there, and she ordered her food, and I ordered mine, and mine came with this little kind of bean soup, and I made a comment about, oh, man, this is good stuff. And she goes, I want to taste. All she did was taste just a little taste on the end of her spoon. Next thing I know, the date was over because her lips were about this big and all this stuff. And I had to take her back home to her mom. I'm sorry, but this is what I did to your daughter. And somehow she still let me marry her. So we hadn't been married too long. We were at a prayer meeting. And just one of those meetings where the Holy Spirit was really moving in the meeting. And I had asked... I kind of prodded her, and I said, hey, go let him pray for your bean allergy. Her exact words were, I'm not going to go up there for prayer for my stupid bean allergy. That's kind of become our joke. That we call it the stupid bean allergy. But I was persistent, and she went down for prayer. Immediately following that, there was a lunch. I think the youth department was serving to raise money for Speed the Light, and so they had this full Mexican spread laid out, and so we're standing in line to serve our plates, and we come up to the rice and the beans, and she looks at me, she goes, well, there's only one way I know to test it. Okay. Big old spoonful, plop, right on the plate. She ate it that day and has been eating Mexican food and just ever since. But you know what's cool about that? As much as we joke about it being the stupid bean allergy, a lot of you know that we were in children's ministry for years and years and spoke at camps and things all over the place. We have told that story so many times. And I can't tell you the faith that that is built in some children to come down and have their needs prayed for. And we've seen God heal children through the years of many, many things because of that. I've got a video somewhere. We had this young lady in our group that we took to camp one year that was, severely lactose intolerant. If we did any kind of food for our children's ministry, we had to make sure that there was something else available for her. And I've got a video, it's on videotape, I'd have to dig to find it, but I've got a, because yeah, we don't use those anymore. But I've got a on videotape of her in the altars, laying on her back, just rubbing her belly with tears running down her face. I didn't know what exactly God was doing, but right after that, after service was over with, they opened up the snack shack, and so they went, and she did. As a responsible adult, I would have said, well, let's go back, and let's have your doctor check things out, because, I'm responsible for the kids, right? But she went to the snack shack and got a big old ice cream. I didn't find out about it till later. Matter of fact, a couple of days later, and she'd been eating ice cream like crazy at camp. And then I found out what God did. I was like, this is cool. I said, I'm glad you didn't tell me, because if you told me, I told you not to try that until you talk to your parents. But God uses those things because they validate, not only does he have compassion for us, but they validate the message and other people, because faith can be built. We had two boys in our group. Two boys, I think, 9 and 7 or 10 and 7, something like that. And they came back, and they were at their own breakfast table at their own house. And younger brother was lactose intolerant. And they were talking. The parents were nowhere around. It was just the two boys. And the older brother said, you know what? Looked at his little brother and says, if God can heal Miss Kim's stupid bean allergy, he can heal you. And the younger brother said, yeah. And the older brother said, well, let's pray right now. At the breakfast table, mom walks in the room, and there's the younger kid with this big bowl of cereal just going to town. And she freaks out. And the oldest brother says, don't worry. We prayed. God's healed him. He did. And the older brother is in the ministry today. Drew Fain. You guys know who he is. See, there's something about that when we do that, the Bible hasn't changed. God still works miracles, and he works them for the same reasons he always has. He works them to increase our faith. He works them to validate his message. He works them to show compassion. He works them to draw the lost to faith in Christ. See, those reasons haven't changed. His character hasn't changed, so neither should our prayers. Mark 16:17-18 says this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. This is Jesus himself talking, by the way. This is after his resurrection, when he's getting ready to ascend. He says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. Now, Jesus isn't talking about a worship practice here. I realize there's some weirdos that try to take that, and they've made that part of the worship service, making snake candling and all that stuff part of that. That's not what that's talking about. What Jesus said right before this was, go into all the world and preach the gospel and share the good news. What he's saying is, as you go about my business of spreading this gospel, these are the things that you will do. I will back up what you're saying with signs and wonders and powers. You will do these incredible things if you will spread this gospel. But we have people today, what do they say? Oh, that was for back then. That's not for today. I had this revelation thought this morning. Think about this. Jesus quoted these words. Now, I don't think for a minute that he didn't realize that that was going to become scripture. Because we hear all the time, well, God doesn't do that anymore because now we have the canon of scripture. We don't need those things anymore. Then why didn't Jesus say, okay, I know these words that I'm saying one day are going to be scripture, so when they become scripture, just ignore them. They don't mean anything. No. He's saying it because if we, just like Reinhard Bonnke said, if we will preach the original gospel in its original power, then we will get the original results. That's what he's talking about. This idea, God still does these things today. James 5, 13 through 16, if you're not convinced, let me put it to you this way. James is writing this letter to the church. He's saying, here's what you're supposed to do as a church. And he says, is any of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick, he should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. This idea that it's not valid anymore is not scriptural. God still does these things today. James goes on to say, you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss. See, the only prayer that God can't answer is the one we never pray. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come to the front this afternoon. I started to say morning. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. Because we do serve a God of miracles. And I believe in a miracle working God. I've touched on just a few things that have happened, but literally I could talk for another hour telling stories of the things I have seen God do. And if you're here today and you need a miracle, it can be a physical healing, it can be an emotional healing, it can be a financial need that you have. It can be provision. It can be reconciliation. It can be a new job. There's so many things it can be. If you just say, I am in need of a miracle, then I challenge you to make that walk of faith this morning. Step forward like Cassidy and Andrew. Bring those things before the Lord. Because it just may be your day that he heals you of that situation. Amen? If that's you, step out.